our airtight plans. We take into account every possibility of anything that could happen and still be surprised at how things turn out because of these unexpected events, these unexpected occurrences that make us either have to adjust our plan or come up with a whole new plan entirely. And I don't know about everyone's experiences, but I'll be honest with you. There was a point in my life where I just decided to stop having plans. You know, things didn't go according to plan. And I thought to myself, if things are not going to go according to plan, why have a plan? Which I'll just say was an erroneous and childish way of thinking. Nowadays, I at least have part of a plan. And I say part of a plan, mostly joking, but at the same time, you know, I think it's important to have plans. Yet there's still that reality of the matter, that things don't always go according to plan. And I've come to believe now, more than ever, that's why whatever plans we make, we trust them with God above all else. Because when we trust Him, when we trust in Him and we trust in His will, even if things don't go according to plan, if things don't go according to my plan, I know that He's reliable, that He's got something else in mind, that perhaps things are not going according to plan, and it will end up to be better. Or if nothing else, there's a better purpose that He has in mind. Consider Joseph, who serves as an interesting example of this, seeing where he comes from and where he ended up and the twists and turns getting there. His life was a series of unexpected events, but with one constant, God was with him through it all. So let's talk about it. We go to Genesis chapter 37. Joseph is first introduced to us in chapter 30 when he's born, but he does not become a prominent character until here in chapter 37. Here in this chapter, he is 17 years old, according to verse 1, and we see that he is Jacob's favorite son of the 12 sons and the one daughter that he had born to him. In Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 through 7, we read, "Now Israel," talking about Jacob, "loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he had made him a coat, a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, 'Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf.'" So we see Joseph here. He is the favorite child of Jacob, born to him in his old age, from the wife he loved most. And we see that Jacob gifted him this coat of many colors. Jacob had set Joseph apart in the sense that he loved him more than the other children. So when Joseph had this dream of his brother's sheaves bowing down to his sheaf, and we would read later on of all the stars and the sun and the moon bowing down to him as well, we can only imagine, first of all, what he's thinking. Because in later events, we recognize he is able to interpret the meaning of dreams, but with this dream, and with the dream of the stars, he doesn't interpret. All he knows is that he's the one being bowed to, or his sheaf was the one being bowed to in the first dream. In fact, we may consider, if he's wondering to himself, why? Because again, he doesn't quite interpret the meaning of the dreams. And when we get much later on in our study tonight, we will see the culmination of this dream. Like right here in this moment. Maybe he doesn't know yet. Maybe that's why he's bringing this up to his brothers. Not in the sense of being a show-off, but rather, he may be wondering to them, You guys know what this might mean? On the other hand, of course, maybe we do get the idea that he had this great idea of grandeur, that life will be easy. But again, there's nothing specifically saying one or the other. But regardless, he took this to mean something. Something not yet fully realized, but something revealed by God. However, what happened next would be something that he may not have expected. Jacob sends out Joseph to go to see his brothers, which was probably in some way routine for Joseph at this point. But as he's coming to them, they began to plot against them at this time. Originally, they wanted to kill them. They wanted to kill Joseph. But Reuben stopped them, wanted to stall his brothers and deliver him from them. And while he was away, while Reuben went away from them, the brothers sold him into slavery. In verse 25 of the same chapter, beginning, they sat down to eat a meal, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph and lifted him out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. In case being thrown down into a pit, stripped of his coat of many colors, and not having food or drink in this pit wasn't enough, he was then sold into slavery by his own brothers. Imagine that. Imagine being in this situation right now. You know, he's going out. He's thinking it's going to be a normal day. You think it's going to be a normal day, a normal routine day with familiar people close to you. But they've conspired against you. In Joseph's case, whatever was his intent by telling them this dream, the idea of grandeur turned his brothers against him. Everything he knew or ever planned was changing in this moment's notice. Everything he thought, every idea he had about life at home, life with his brothers, life with his father, everything was about to change right here and right now because he's being sold into slavery. Betrayed by his brothers. From his point of view, his whole life is being flipped upside down on a moment's notice. The most unprecedented of things was now coming to pass, and he wouldn't have known or expected to be sold into slavery by his own brothers, no less. But here we are. Yet unexpectedly, didn't turn out to be so bad. And in fact, he'd proved himself trustworthy to his master, Potiphar, so that he even made him the overseer of his house. Skip down to chapter 39, and we pick up in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 39 in Genesis. It says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house." Potiphar made Joseph overseer of his house, brethren. "And all that he had, he put under his command. The Lord was with Joseph." And that is probably the single most important detail in Joseph's whole life story. All that bad that had just happened in the previous chapter, in chapter 37, has now been softened by the fact that God was with them. That his guidance meant that Joseph was going to be well off despite the terrible circumstances. And the circumstances didn't stay terrible. Sure, he had been betrayed and sold into slavery by his brothers. Sure, he now had to answer to this master, this Egyptian man. But guess what? as we see, God was with him, even here. And due to this fact, something unexpected happened once again, and this time, something good. The Lord made him successful in the house of his slave master, so that his master, the Egyptian, saw that the Lord was with him. You want to know why that this is an impressive fact? Because the Egyptians worshiped their own gods. They had their own belief system. And so the fact that Potiphar learned about who God was through Joseph, saw the work of the Lord being done through Joseph, was more than impressive. And furthermore, Potiphar treated Joseph well, even to the point of making him the overseer of his house. All these years of service to Potiphar had an unexpected payoff. He was in service to Potiphar for 11 years. And then another unexpected thing happened. Another unexpected event came about while in Potiphar's house, in that Potiphar's wife grew infatuated with Joseph. Although Joseph was righteous, he did not pursue her, and in fact ran from her advances. But then she spoke lies to Potiphar, which ended with Joseph's arrest and imprisonment. Drop down to verse 19 of our same chapter in chapter 39. Verses 19 through 23, we read, "So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused, and Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper." Both good and bad are seen here once again from this unexpected event. Obviously the bad, Potiphar's wife, growing infatuated with Joseph, constantly flirted with him, constantly teased him, but he never did anything. He never pursued this woman, never flirted back. And in the first instance that we see her come on to him, he says, "How can I sin against God in this way?" Yet even after all that, even after having to run away from her, she still got the upper hand and used her words to turn her husband against Joseph, which landed him in prison for 2 years. Kind of a rough situation once again. We thought it was getting better, and then it got worse. But there's good again, as we see. The good is that, like how the Lord was with him in Potiphar's house, he was with him even here in the prison. As we just saw, Joseph proved himself to be trustworthy once again, so that even the keeper of the prison trusted him to look after the other prisoners. It's amazing to see the presence of God all throughout our own lives, even in the darkest of times and the worst of times, just as we see him in the darkest and worst of times for Joseph. And still, like with Joseph, he blesses us even while we're in the midst of severe conflict and trial. And so finally, after the 2 years he was in prison, we're coming to an end. Another great and unexpected event happened. Not just his release, but his promotion. In chapter 40, while in prison, he met the butler and the baker, who had dreams, and through God was able to understand and interpret those dreams. He gave them not just the dream themselves, but the meaning of those dreams. This was what's going to happen, and it came to pass. And then in chapter 41, the butler, who had been released those years previous, would remember Joseph when the Pharaoh had dreams of his own. Spoke of Joseph, said, this man can tell you the meaning of the dreams. And so brought Joseph out of prison, brought him before Pharaoh. And he told Pharaoh the dreams. Pharaoh told Joseph the dreams. And Joseph was able to interpret and tell the meaning of the dreams through God. And at the end of it, how does Pharaoh respond? Verse 37 to 41 of chapter 41. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Now that has got to be the most unexpected thing of all right there. Joseph was probably thinking he would be lucky if these interpretations got him a pardon from prison. You know, he's been stuck there for 2 years, wrongly accused, sentenced under the false witness of a wannabe adulterous wife. And he did not deserve to be in prison. He kept himself righteous. He did not pursue this married woman. But thanks to God's providence, he was able to meet the butler, who in turn told Pharaoh about him. Having an audience with Pharaoh is one thing, but Pharaoh not only listening to Joseph, pardoning Joseph, but also promoting Joseph to be the second in command of all of Egypt. Again, how much more of an unexpected event could this be? From prison to power, brethren, God being with him brought him into the second greatest position within the Egyptian hierarchy. Joseph's life story, so full of unexpected events. Low lows, high highs. This isn't the end. Most important moment is still to come. You ever think Joseph ever wondered if he would see his family ever again? Do you think he ever wondered how he would interact with them, how he would react to them being in his presence once again after the horrible thing that they did to him once upon a time? Well, in what may have been unexpected to him, he got to see his brothers again. They came down to Egypt in chapter 42. They came bowing to Joseph, not recognizing him. They didn't recognize his own brother, but they recognized that he was in a position of power now. That's when that dream clicked. This was the context in which his first dreams would come true. Not as grandeur, granted that Joseph was second in command, but in a place of being one who could help them in the midst of the famine, as the one who could save them from starvation and death. And after a bit of back and forth with Joseph and his brothers, Joseph said to his brothers, finally revealing himself in chapter 45, beginning in verse 3. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please, come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Let's math this out real quick. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. He spent 11 years in service to Potiphar, and then would spend 2 years in prison. And he would be released from prison at the age of 30. This is confirmed in Genesis 41, verse 46. Then we see that there was the 7 years of prosperity in the land of Egypt. And then we are now 2 years into the years of famine. This would make Joseph around 39 years old. You know what that means? That means he had 22 years to hold a grudge against his brothers. 22 years to think about how he would respond to them after this horrible thing that they did. 22 years contemplating that now he's in this position of power. I can punish them if I so choose to. He could have had them all imprisoned or even executed just because he says so. What does he do? He shows mercy. He forgives his brothers. In the later verses, we see him embracing his brothers, kissing his brothers, treating them and their families with kindness, providing them with all that they need. At the end of it all, he recognized that all the horrible things that had happened to him were actually for the good. Not just himself, but his entire family. At the end of it all, he recognized the true purpose of everything that had happened. All these unexpected events brought him into this position to be able to save and preserve his family. This life that he lived, this series of unexpected events, it was all for the glory of God, brethren. It was all for his will, for his purpose. His purpose was to save his people. They were going to die in the famine. And so he brought Joseph into the position to save them. From this came the great promises given to Abraham, being fulfilled one by one later on down the line. Through these sons of Jacob, their descendants multiplying. From this came the line of Levi, which included Moses, who brought Israel out of Egypt. It included Aaron and the Levitical priesthood, who would stand making offerings under the old law. From this came the line of Ephraim, which included Joshua, who led the Israelites into the promised land. From this came the line of Benjamin, which included Apostle Paul, one of the greatest and most prominent of Jesus' apostles. And from this came the line of Judah, which included Boaz, who married Ruth, who had children. And down the line, there was David, Solomon, the kings of Judah, several generations, and finally, Jesus Christ coming into this world, who would eventually, as we know, and remember each and every Sunday, die on the cross so that we can be saved of our sins. Just as Jesus was 2,000 years before us, Joseph was about 2,000 years before Jesus. Amazing to think that God was with Joseph during all these unexpected events in his life. And the great purpose that was behind it all, that great purpose being spread across 4,000 years. All these unexpected events meant that we have salvation today. It's weird looking at that big picture sort of thing. But what's the lesson for us, brethren? The lesson for us is that we trust God always. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter if things are going according to plan or not, we must trust God. Those times when things don't go our way, when our plans fall through, that's when we need to rely on God. That's when we need to remember that we can trust in Him above all else. And He wants us to trust in Him above all else. Just as we've looked recently in our Proverbs class, we're called to trust in Him completely. With all of me, with everything that I have, trust in Him completely. Not in self, not in my understanding, not in my plans, not in my riches, not in anything else I can name. Trust God always. You know, we let our guard down when things go smoothly. And when these unexpected events come, how do we respond? Do we respond with anger and despair? Or do we respond with faith and trust? Joseph is one that serves as an example of one who kept his faith when the unexpected happened, who went through all these crazy life events, trusting in God, letting Him lead the way, and Him following suit. Trusting in Him. That even though I've just been sold into slavery by my brothers, even though I've just been thrown into prison by my master, I trust in You, God. You know, you look at Joseph's life events, and you look at ours. At least we're all still free. At least we're all still free to worship here. That can all change in a moment's notice. Where will your faith be when the change comes? Where will your faith be when the unexpected happens? Let it be in God, brethren. If you do not trust in God, who do you trust in? Self? Money? Power? Whatever it is not as trustworthy as God. God will never leave us or forsake us. God will never fail us. God will never lead us astray. God cares. His care is above all else. His power is above all else. His purpose is above all else. So when these unexpected times come, the greatest thing we can do, put all the trust you can in Him. Put all your faith and more in Him. Remember in Him who you serve. Remember, He's the one that's going to bring you through to the other side. Remember that He is going to help us to overcome the trials. Trust in Him always and above all else. Do you trust in Him today? Are you here tonight as one who trusts in Him? If you are not yet a Christian, we've got to seriously consider whether or not you trust in Him. If you trust in Him, we invite you to act on that trust. If you've heard the Word and have come to believe in Him and you're beginning to grow that trust and that faith in Him, act on it. Grow in that. Repent of your sins. Let those sins fall behind you. Pursue them no more. Pursue God. Turn away from sin and pursue God. Confess the name of Jesus as the Son of God, and you can be baptized tonight, washed free of your sins, and free to walk a new life with God, where you can trust Him, where you can put all your faith in Him, and know you're going to be okay, and know He's going to bring you through. And even if it's not in this life, He can bring you through to the next life, where you can be safe on the other side in heaven eternal. Or if you're here tonight already as a Christian, but have allowed sin in your life, or if you begin to let your trust and your faith waver with God, we invite you back. We want to encourage you to repent of those lines of thinking. Repent of those sins. Get back to God. He is waiting for you. He has His arms open for you. So repent of those sins. Repent of the lack of trust and the lack of faith. Confess them to God in prayer. He is faithful and just to forgive us if we confess to Him. And if you feel the need to confess before your brethren, we are here for you. We want to encourage you. We want to show our love to you. We will pray for you and with you, because we're all in this together. We're all fighting our battles of faith. We're all having those moments where we lose our trust. We need to remind each other of the God that we serve, that he is more than trustworthy and more than worthy of our faith. Put your faith in him, brethren. If you're subject to the invitation or need prayers of this congregation for help in any way, please come as we stand and we sing.